Welcome to the 4th and Inches podcast with your hosts, Stuart Love, Sukhdeep Pooney, and Ryan Edwardson.
Greetings and welcome to a special edition of the 4th and Inches podcast. Once again, we've got two resident fans with us here today to discuss the up-and-coming AFC Championship matchup between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. So we've got Brad back with us today, who represented the Chiefs last week. How's it going, Brad?
Oh, over the moon, mate. I'm ready for this game. Can't wait.
Fantastic. And we've got Josh back with us, who, Josh, you guys might remember in one of our earlier podcasts, was involved in talking about, you know, what it's like to be a fan from the UK. So we're absolutely delighted to have Josh back with us today as well. So how's it going?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. I'm nervous, but I'm excited, as probably most Bills fans and Chiefs fans are.
That's fair enough. It's been a long time, you know, obviously from a Bills perspective. As I say, I remember the late 80s and early 90s. It's been a crazy ride, but it's been a strange season, hasn't it? You know, 2020, you know, having the Browns, the Bills, the Bucks all in the playoff.
Yeah.
You know,
people were saying that on the previous one. It was, if somebody said to you like 10 years ago that the Chiefs, the Bills, the Bucks, and the Packers would probably all be in the same, you know, like the last four. You'd think you're crazy.
You'd write them off.
And the thing is, like, we were so close to having the Browns in that, you know, final four as well, Brad. I mean, talk us through your emotions through that game. I mean, it wasn't easy for me to watch. Well, I can't imagine how it was for you.
It was plain sailing at the beginning. I mean, 19-3 up. It was, you know, it just seemed like it was regular playoffs, you know, Chiefs playoff football. And what happened after that was crazy. It really did like feel like it was the end of the season. It was over. You know, when Mahomes got his concussion or whatever it was, because I think they put him through concussion protocols, but it wasn't classed as kind of concussion. It was such a weird injury to get. It was something to do with neck and some neurological thing or something like that connected. Yeah. I don't know what it is. I'm no doctor, but it was, I think from that moment, everyone thought, oh my God, this is it. Because we knew that the Browns, they were coming strong towards the end. And we just needed to limp over that line really just to get, you know, get a bit of a respite, really, and then just kind of take stock of what's happening with Mahomes' injury. So, yeah, you know, fingers crossed, everything's all right. And we've just heard he's back now, so he should be playing on Sunday.
Yeah, literally, we're recording this on Friday evening, and it's literally only been sort of the last half an hour, 45 minutes. So I'm glad we waited to do this particular pod to the very last minute, because I wanted the news to come out. Because it is strange when you talk about a figure such as Patrick Mahomes, whether or not he's going to play or not, it has such a significance in what we're going to sort of talk about today. But I hear what you're saying about that game. I mean, even looking at halftime, obviously Browns had that freak play where, you know, I think it was Higgins had, you know, fumbled the ball and, you know, was called for a touchback. At that point, surely you thought things are just plain sailing for you guys, didn't you, at that point? There was no doubt.
We did, yeah. I mean, obviously the touchback that happened, we've seen that a few times with Derek Carr during a season, and, you know, from the Raiders, seems to be his special. So we're quite used to seeing that kind of that play, you know, or that call on those kind of plays. I know there's people a bit dubious about whether it was helmet to helmet and all that. But I think it was just in the heat of the moment, I think it was just both players really giving it their all, just diving for, you know, one to protect the goal line and one to actually go in for the touchdown. And they just seemed to hit and collide. And luckily for us, it fell in our favour.
Yeah, 100%. And obviously for those of our listeners who listen to the Roger Goodgrove podcast, where we talk about key officiating decisions, he even explained that, you know, really the right call and everything was made. You know, it's within sort of the rule book. Yes, there's a bit of controversy about it, but like you said, it was all, it wasn't done in any sort of malicious way. It was just one of those freak things that, you know, just happened. So, but, you know, at the end of the day, we can't, I know there are a lot of talkers about Patrick Mahomes, but surely we've got to give Chad Henne some love. I know he had that pick sort of late on, and that's where things, I mean, it was a terrible throw. I mean, no doubt about it. I literally I think he'll definitely
want that back.
It wasn't good. But that play he made at the end, obviously, to try and, I mean, first of all, before the fourth down, we can talk about the fourth down attempt, that run he made to get you very close to that first down was just amazing, wasn't it?
It's going to live long in the memory, I think, because, yeah, I mean, I'll not lie, a lot of us were not very confident that Chad Henne was in, you know, as the league quarterback. And it was 3rd and 14, and we're so used to seeing Mahomes throwing 3rd and 14 like it's, you know, he's like making breakfast in the morning. It just seems so easy to him on third down. Mm-hmm. But seeing Chad Henne on 3rd and 14, yeah, I must admit my backside was twitching at that point. But when we saw him just literally just escape the pocket and run up the field like some kind of man possessed, it was brilliant. And then he dived for the line as well. He really put his body on the line. And we thought we'd actually got it over the line, but obviously it went down to the 4th and inches.
Yeah.
And that 4th and inches.
You are. It's a good plug, by the way, for 4th and inches.
4th and inches, yeah. Well, this is it. I mean, this is probably the biggest, best 4th and inches play I've ever seen. Not because it was flashy or anything like that, but I think just the way it caught the Browns off guard, because I think they thought that the Chiefs were actually counting, you know, trying to get them to jump.
Yeah.
And you could hear Tony Romo on the commentary saying that, you know, he says, oh, just look at the body language. They're not going to play this. And then they snapped the ball and then they threw it to Tyreek Hill, who was on the right. And it was just, yeah, it was, we all jumped up at that point. It felt like a Super Bowl win at that point, I think.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I was obviously watching the game live and, you know, listening to Romo's commentary as well. I think even at that point, because you're so tense, when Romo was sort of saying that, you sort of just sat back a bit. I thought, yeah, they're not going for it. And then all of a sudden it was snap, wasn't it? Like,
yeah.
And I was like, what?
Browns players were really caught in the hop. Yeah.
What guts? Because if you don't get that, you're literally putting your game on the line, aren't you? I mean, who's to say what was going to happen with obviously that drive, but potentially, you know, Baker and that offense, you know, would have been, there was still time on the clock, wasn't there, that, you know, for them to do something. So, but that's what gets you there. You know, you've seen it with the Eagles in the past, or with the Chiefs last season, you know, it's these gutsy calls make all the difference in terms of, you know, winning championships. Any sort of thoughts on sort of the defense? I mean, I know sort of Tyron had a massive game, you know, for the Chiefs defense against the Browns. What were your sort of thoughts on how your defense performed against the Browns?
The defense seems to just show up in the playoffs. It's very strange to see. I mean, they don't seem to show up at all much during the regular season. They do make the odd play now and again, but yeah, Tyron Matthew, there was some fantastic plays that he did where he managed to help in the run defense.
Yeah.
Where there was one play I went absolutely crazy about because I thought it was fantastic. It was, he came down the right and he actually set the edge to stop Nick Chubb going through, you know, trying to break through the line. And when he set that edge and not actually going for the tackle, it just kind of redirected Chubb.
Yeah,
and I was loving that. I was all over that. And he did it later on, I think, where he literally went underneath two linemen, two blockers to actually take down. I think it was Kareem Hunt at the time.
Yeah.
And just, he was all over the field. He was a menace. But then we've got, obviously, Snead. There's another one who, it feels like Snead is just all over the field. He's there when we need him. He's sprightly, he's just everything we need in like a defensive back. He's such a good player, and it's unbelievable that we actually picked him up in the fourth. I think it was the fourth round. I think it was
right.
Just a great all-round kind of defensive back. That he's just a menace. Just brilliant. But the pressure that we've been getting as well, which is good. I mean, there's a lot of people talking about. There's a lot of Chiefs fans talking about the fact that, you know, Frank Clark hasn't really had many sacks this year. Chris Jones hasn't had many sacks this year, but a lot of it is because the quarterbacks are having to get that ball out quickly. And most of the time, you know, Chris Jones is double teamed as well. So it's, you know, there's teams trying to work out how to stop them. But then you've got like Tyrann Mathieu and Snead coming in to help in the run game as well, in the run D. It's just, I think the defense, Spagnuolo just seems to have this canny knack of just working out, even mid-game as well, to try and find out what the weaknesses are on these opposing teams. And it was just great to watch. And we actually really needed them against the Browns as well.
Yeah, 100%. I have a lot of time for Frank Clark. I mean, I remember his time at the Seahawks. He was, you know, absolute pivotal, you know, free agency signing for you guys. But even with the Honey Badger, I mean, I saw his interview after the game. He seems to have matured so much, hasn't he, from when he first started off at the Cardinals. And obviously, even when he was drafted, there was all the talk about him and his sort of, you know, behaviour. But he's really seemed to have matured since he's been at the Chiefs.
I think a baby does that to you as well. He's obviously got his daughter. He's brought into the world, and she's always on his mind, I think, and it just makes him play a whole lot better. He just seems very dialed into the process, dialed into what the Chiefs are trying to achieve, and he's just that kind of linchpin that we've got right at the back. And he's just a warrior. He's brilliant. And he's everything that we expected, because obviously losing a player like Eric Berry, you want somebody who's going to come in, who's going to be that like leadership role. And Tyrann Mathieu is that and more.
Yep. Well, we're going to move on and start talking about the Buffalo Bills now. Josh, Ravens, yes, 3 points. If you told me this time last week that the Ravens would only be getting 3 points, I think we all would have had a bit of a laugh at that. But what went right for the Bills? I mean, that was just, you know, from a defensive standpoint, you know, you've shut out Lamar Jackson, albeit obviously, you know, he had his problems in sort of later on in the game. Obviously, he was taken off the field, but you literally had him under wraps, didn't you? What was the key to the Buffalo's winning that game?
See, I think what drives the Bills, I found a reason. So I've been following the Bills since about 6 or so years, but we've always been sort of thrown to the side by kind of the media and by sort of pundits. They've always voted against the Bills. They're always, and I think the Bills like to play the chip on their shoulder. Specifically, they like to be the underdogs. And I know at the start of the week that the under and under over were kind of similar for the teams, and people started to pick towards the Ravens. And I think the Bills play a lot better when there's a chip on their shoulder, which is why I'm happy that Mahomes is going to be playing. Because my thoughts was, if the Bills play and the quarterback is Chad Henne and we win, there's, they won without Mahomes playing the Chiefs. It doesn't really count. But with Mahomes playing, you've got to beat the best to be the best. So I'm really happy he's playing. But keeping the Ravens to 3 points, the defense played their best game of the season. They really turned it on. The first half of the season, we were allowing too many points. But again, to hold, you know, Lamar Jackson, J.K. Dobbins to 3 points. I mean, obviously Justin Tucker missing them 2 field goals helps out quite a lot. And being one of the most prolific kickers, I was shocked. I'm sure most of the NFL fans were shocked when he missed them. Obviously, you know, counting your blessings, and you thought, okay, this actually might go the Bills' way. But the defense stepped up massively. I think it helped having Edmonds. He's playing his best football this past couple of games. Having him spying Lamar Jackson for most of the game, it really they tried to force him to throw it. Albeit, I think they put up 160 yards rushing, but trying to force Jackson in the pocket and to pass the ball was how we were going to win. And luckily, we managed to do that.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
100%. If you put Jackson under that pressure and he's got to be forced to throw, he's always going to struggle, you know, as has been proved in the playoffs last year. You know, they followed the same sort of pattern what the Titans did to them last year. Edmonds, like you pointed out, you know, absolutely amazing. And I remember having the Bills as my sort of fantasy team and defense. And I remember just getting rid of them after the first few weeks, thinking, what's going on? Like, they've let me down time and time again. Yeah. But suddenly they've just turned up at the right time, and that's what it's all about, isn't it? Your defense now turns up at the right time. Your coordinator is doing a fantastic job. Obviously, he's getting high praise now. Who were sort of the other key pieces? I mean, we know obviously about Edmonds. Obviously, Tre'Davious White. Everyone, you know, knows how much of a
everyone knows. Is. Everyone knows Trey.
Yeah, but, yeah. Jerry Hughes. I mean, he came up with 2 very pivotal sacks as well in the game, didn't he?
Yeah, to push him out of field goal range. And I think, as I said, it's a collective of the defense. I mean, obviously, you've got Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, who are just a ridiculous safety duo. And that's all, it's almost like a security blanket for the team. If they're going to force Lamar to pass the ball, they obviously got that. So he's never going to get the big chunk plays. He's going to have to throw it, you know, 5-10 yards. Mm. So they're always there. As I said, Tre'Davious White. And obviously, the main man being Taron Johnson with that ridiculous pick in the end zone, pick six, you know, really changed the game for us. But in particular, Feliciano, sort of made me laugh a few times because when the Bills didn't run the ball very much at all, when they did after the second half, they had a bit of they had a bit of success in it. And I remember seeing a video online whenever Bills got, you know, between 7 and 10 yards on the run, Feliciano would you know, gas up the crowd. He would punch his fist in the air, and, you know, he sort of get everyone giddy and get everyone going. So I think everyone's a collective sort of adding a lot of energy to the defense. Yeah. really put them on the spot to stop the Ravens.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of obviously the running game, like the Bills, like you said, don't really effectively use the running game a lot. Obviously, we know Zach Moss is out now with his injury. He's not back. He's out for the season now, isn't he?
Out for the season, yeah. It's a big, so now, big loss.
Yeah, so now you're relying on obviously Devin Singletary and Yeldon. I mean, what is it with sort of the play calling? Is it that you just trust Josh Allen and his arm more? Because, I mean, if you look at the Chiefs, obviously they've got, you know, Mahomes, who's got, you know, we've got two of the best quarterbacks with the strongest arms playing, but it seems like the Chiefs can have that balance with the running game, but the Bills aren't really keen to use the run unless it's Josh Allen himself. So why do you think that is?
So I think part of it was that Moss and Singletary, they kind of go against each other quite well. Moss is quite a power player, just runs you straight into the defense, whereas Singletary can make a couple man miss. Zach can as well, but I think that gave them kind of the duo, so they could sort of one play, bring in, you know, Singletary, defense might stack up to stop Moss, and then Singletary can run on the outside and get a couple of yards. But I think they're just trusting Josh Allen with his improvements he's made. His completion percentage by like 16% this year, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I just think now, obviously, the connection that he has with Diggs, and obviously Beasley being a clutch third down player, obviously Gabe Davis as well, he's really come into fruition the past couple of games. I just think it's not so much to just do the passing, but I think our sort of our pass offense is just so good. They're going to try and push that as much as they can. But I think it could work in our favor because obviously everyone knows how prolific the wide receiver core is and just how the Bills' passing offense is. That we could introduce Singletary into some more plays when Chiefs might not expect that, and it's something that could work in their favor. But I just think overall they're just trusting Josh Allen because of the strides he's made this year.
Yeah, 100%. And you didn't even mention, obviously, you know, Brown as well, Dawson Knox. I remember him coming out of college, not even having a touchdown in college. And he seems to have picked up the playbook quite nicely now. And he's a massive part of the offense as well, isn't he? So,
absolutely. Yeah. So John Brown offers the speed. You know, he offers the speed and defense. We've got to think about that. And obviously, Dawson Knox, I follow loads of people on loads of Bills fans on Twitter, and some of them aren't big fans of Dawson Knox. Mm-hmm. They often he has dropped a couple of passes that could have been quite clutch, but when you need him, he's there. You know, he does get the clutch. You know, catches in the end zone. Mm-hmm. You know, and for instance, I go back to Gabe Davis. You know, the couple of catches that he made in that game as well really pushed the Bills just over the edge. But I mean, you said the overall offensive core is leagues above what it was last year. I think that sort of goes with the Bills' successes this year. I hope that they don't start the game off throwing it 19 out of 20 times. Obviously, the one rush was Josh Allen's sort of scramble. So I hope they kind of complement the two. They do a bit of rushing and a bit of passing. But I think overall they'd need to pass more because that's where our main success has been the entire year.
Yeah, the main thing is you just want to keep that Chiefs offense off as well. So if you can run it and waste as much time as you can. But the problem is that the other problem is as well, you can score, as we've seen it, you can score 14, 21 points on the Chiefs and still be in danger of not, you know, winning the game as you saw last year with the Chiefs, obviously what they did. So
yeah, you can
never
count them out.
Brad, sort of going into the game this week then, so you know, two very high powered offenses. I mean, you know, you got Josh Allen, arguably, you know, an MVP candidate. Mahomes, obviously, in the same caliber, as we're aware. You know, what is going to be the key for the Chiefs to come away with, you know, the AFC Championship this week? Obviously, we know now the positive news from a Chiefs perspective that, you know, Mahomes is playing, but what else do the Chiefs need to do to ensure that they, can obviously come away with the W.
Well, just going off what Josh was saying there, it does look as though you've got two offenses here. It's like looking in a mirror, isn't it? You know, we've got two very high-powered offenses there. You know, there's a lot of people looking at this as the, as though it's going to be a good shootout between two very good offenses, which, you know, have been brilliant all season for both teams. But I think the key for us is going to be the defense. I just think we seem to have more star players on there, I think, that can generate the pressure. They can disrupt a game. We bring in, like quarterbacks into the blitz and stuff like that. We can really kind of disrupt Josh Allen as best we can and try and force him into a mistake. I think the key matchup, the key area that I think we need to really go for on the offensive side, I think if Mahomes targets Josh Norman, I think that's going to be a key battle there, because it's I think he's been on the on record recently saying he wants a one-on-one with Tyreek Hill. Now that never ends nicely, does it? For any cornerback in that situation. I mean, I think the only cornerback that's pretty, you know, come pretty close to that is actually Jalen Ramsey, who gave Tyreek Hill a bit of a good a good game in that. So, but to see Norman trying to call out that, what's Norman now? Is he what, 33, 34 now, is he, or something, the cornerback?
Yeah, he's getting on.
He's going to need a lot of help, I think, from the safeties, and they're going to be mindful of that. I think Mahomes has to keep away from Tre'Davious White, because I think he has the potential of picking him off there. So I think if the Chiefs aim towards Norman, they might do a bit of bit of a ruse on it, really. Just look as though we're picking on Norman, and then we've got Kelce down the middle, which might open up because we've brought a safety over, maybe. So it's going to be interesting. And I think, we've got a decent run game. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is meant to be coming back. I think he was limited today, and he seems like he could come back. I think Le'Veon Bell's injured, I think. But then we've got, obviously, Darrell Williams now, not Damian Williams, who was a Super Bowl hero, but we've got Darrell Williams, who played really well against the Browns. So we've got a decent run game. And I know the media were kind of having a go at the Bills' run D for best part of the season. But like you said, you can't deny the fact that they've actually shut down the Ravens for 3 points there.
Yeah.
And they've managed to smother Jackson quite easily. So, you know, we have to be aware of that. But I think from what Josh was saying there, I think the Chiefs still have to go with their aerial attack. Because like you said, both teams both got a devastating aerial attack. So it's gonna be great for the neutral. It's gonna be racking up points left, right, and centre, I think, in this game. It's just gonna come down to a better defense, and I think personally, I think the Chiefs have got a slightly better defense.
Fair enough. Any worry, concerns about the pressure on Mahomes? Obviously, you know, given the fact that he's obviously just come out of this, you know, concussion protocol, surely the Bills' defense are going to be sort of gunning for him. I know you've got a good offensive line there, but you've still got, Schwartz, he's been out long term, hasn't he?
The O-line's actually been banged up quite a bit this season. We lost, I think it was Osemele. We lost him. I think it was two knee blowouts, I think he got there, which is really, really unfortunate. We've kind of limped along a little bit with this O-line, and it does concern a lot of Chiefs fans, I think, with this, because even now they're actually looking at the draft and going, right, who's the best O-lineman that we can get in the first round? You know, just use all our picks on O-linemen, because, Schwartz is getting... He's getting a bit long in the tooth now. He's got a bad back, which is never good, obviously, for an O-lineman. He's been solid for us for years, but obviously with these injuries now, it might be that the Chiefs have to look at, you know, replacing a few of these players, especially like, you know, the first round player that we got with Eric Fisher. It's just, we've just got to make sure that Patrick's upright. And I think more people were more concerned about the foot injury that he got. He seemed to bang his toe or something on the turf, and everybody's worrying.
Exactly.
Turf toe, wasn't it, they were saying. So I think people were more concerned about that than the actual whatever concussion he had, or what, you know, if it was concussion. I think people are more concerned about that, whether he's going to be as mobile this time. So we'll have to obviously see on game day. I suppose that's what injections are for, I suppose.
Yeah, 100%. And Mahomes sitting in the pocket, I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world, is it? If he, as long as
not
he
really, no
protection, you know, he's going to sling it. But yeah, I mean, I can see where the concern is, because, you know, you want to make sure that, you know, he, like you said, he's sitting upright. But yeah, we'll just have to see how that, you know, game plan pans out. One positive thing about Mitchell Schwartz, I do follow him on Instagram, and mate, he can cook a nice barbecue. I don't know if you followed him on Instagram.
Yeah. I've got him on Twitter, I think, as well.
Literally every week he inspires me for like a takeaway or something, and not the good kind, not the NFL kind anyway. But, you know, there we have it. Josh, so the Bills obviously coming in as underdogs this week. Obviously, another case, they may have, you know, that chip on their shoulder, like you said. What's it going to take for the Bills to beat this Chiefs team? You know, how do you stop Mahomes and that offense, you know, the Legion of Zoom?
That's it. So I just think applied pressure. I mean, going on Brad said, well, obviously the toe injury, I think he summed up nicely. Most people, obviously, you know, with the concussion protocol, in my opinion, it was never going to play anyway, just because it's Mahomes. And again, it didn't look like it was a concussion, more of a tweaked nerve. But I think just applying pressure, obviously with his turf toe or whatever they're calling it, I think forcing him out of the pocket, again, sort of exploiting the injury, obviously not targeting, because obviously you don't want to do that, but in terms of making him run, right, making him run the ball. So I saw a video, I think he scrambled for maybe 6-7 yards in the game, and he got up and he couldn't put any pressure on his left foot. And I think just rather than keeping comfortable in the pocket, apply a lot of pressure. Like we've got obviously Matt Milano, we're unbeaten since he's come back from his injury. I think 7 straight since he's come back after, I think, the Hail Murray, something along those lines. And also him and Tremaine Edmonds have come into his own the past couple of games. I think them two are going to be keys on the defence to stopping Mahomes, because, again, he's got an absolute rocket arm. And he's one of my favourite quarterbacks, you know, as much as you want sort of Bills, he's rivalry. I've loved watching Mahomes. I mean, as a neutral last week, obviously I wanted the Browns to win, you know, Browns versus Bills in championship. No one would have ever dreamt that, ever. But, you know, obviously being up against the best team in the NFL, I think it's what we've got to do. But applying pressure to him, make him scramble, force him outside the pocket, I think are key to victory, as well as just, you know, Josh being on target, hitting Diggs, hitting Brown, hitting Beasley. I think that's our keys to victory, is definitely applying pressure.
Yeah, no, that will definitely obviously help with, you know, getting that W. But is there anyone in particular... is there anyone in particular that you're sort of concerned about from the Chiefs, other than the most obvious players? Is there anyone really that does sort of concern you?
So, yeah, so most obvious being Hill and Kelce. I mean, just to touch them briefly, I think they're by themselves. Defences are going to have to surround most of their game plan around them two in particular, because they are just two ridiculous players. And as you said, with Clyde Edwards-Helaire potentially coming back, that's another kind of spanner in the works. I think, I'm not saying the Bills have, you know, the run defense sorted out, because that's a long shot. But with Leslie Frazier having probably his best game as defensive coordinator in my opinion recent years against the Ravens, you know, I think the Bills had it quite locked down with the run. Again, pass, we're kind of average. I think overall we're not amazing, but we don't give up too many passing yards. But I think if Clyde Edwards-Helaire is coming back, he put up, I think, 160 rushing yards against us, I think week 6 or 5 when we played the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And he really exploited our run defence. So that's something in particular, if he is playing, that I think the Bills just look out for. Because obviously they've got the 1-2 combination with Hill and Kelce, and obviously Mahomes being Mahomes. Yeah. And then adding, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire in particular on the ground could, you know, devastate the run defence if they're not on point.
That's fair enough. Brad, any particular Bills players that you're concerned about, apart from sort of the obvious, you know?
Yeah, I'm absolutely. I've always liked John Brown. I think the speed that the guy's got, I think he can cause us problems. And one of the defeats that we had this year was obviously against quite a speedy offense, which was against the Raiders. I hate saying that as well. they've obviously had like Henry Ruggs, and you know, the players that they've got are pretty speedy, and I think the Chiefs defensive backs had a little bit of a time with them, and couldn't really grasp them and get into the game with them. So I think it's key that we've got to watch these wide receivers because, you know, I think the Bills wide receivers are excellent. I mean, Diggs is probably the best wide receiver this year. Yeah. John Brown, yes, I think he was out for an injury for a bit, but he's back now. Yeah. Is Beasley playing? I don't know if he had something wrong with his knee or something. Or
yeah, injury report today. Beasley and Diggs are both full participants today. As far as they're concerned, I think they're all playing all good to go.
Yeah. Beasley's had a good time as well. He almost plays like almost like a similar role to how we use Kelsey as well. So yeah, it's gonna be mouthwatering this, you know, seeing both of these offenses go up against such. I think it's just gonna be one of those games. I think it's set up to be a classic. I think that's how I see it.
I agree.
100%. Yeah. Now, Brad, just one final sort of say as to why the neutrals out there should be rooting for the Chiefs, and now's your time to sort of, you know, have a go at the Bills. So go ahead, you know.
Say what you need to.
Well, no, I mean, you know, the Chiefs have obviously, you know, they've suddenly been thrust into the limelight all of a sudden after not winning a Super Bowl in 50 years. I mean, I'll play the violin card on that one, I think.
Bills fans, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll play that card, you know. The Chiefs are, probably people would love to hate them now because they are the Super Bowl champs. But, you know, there's a greater evil we've got to be wary of here. And that is the Chiefs have to try and beat down the Patriots dynasty, right? so if we go on and win the Super Bowl, we're getting there, right? We're getting
there. Yeah. Bills fans wanting them to win now.
Yeah. That's it. I'm with the Chiefs. Let's go. Tear down the Patriots. Yeah.
that's a good argument, Brad. Now,
let us win so we can win more Super Bowls than the Patriots.
Yeah, well, I'm a Brady guy, you know. So, to be fair, I'm not going to lie. I've always liked Brady even before this. So, I wasn't one of them haters. I think I've got some evidence on Twitter somewhere, so I'll have to post that out. But, Josh, why should the neutrals root for the Bills?
I think, the underdog story. Everyone always wants to root for the underdogs. And again, Chiefs, you know, the best team in the NFL, they don't want to see them win a second time in a row. They want the new team on the block. And obviously, I think any fan of the NFL knows the Bills' shortcomings in the Super Bowl, the four stretch where they made every single one 4 years in a row, didn't win a single one. It's got to be their time at some point. And I think this year is the best team we've had, I think, since then. I think it's our best chance of doing it. And again, people often like to go against what the media is saying. A lot of media are picking the Chiefs. And it's always been Buffalo versus everybody. No matter what Buffalo do, they're always discredited as, you know, oh, that quarterback had an off game. Oh, you know, the O-line was, you know, busted up. But I think people should go for the root for the Bills just because the underdog story. And we don't want the Chiefs dynasty. We want a Bills dynasty, I think. That's what I think we should start.
That's fair enough. Plus, also, what are the Bills Mafia going to do if they win? I mean, how many tables are going to get broken?
I don't own one. I've never once bought a folding table, but if the Bills win the Super Bowl, I'm going to buy two folding tables and jump through them both. And I'll say that live on here. I will do that happily.
You've said it.
Yeah,
never.
I'm on. Hands up. I'll do it. I mean, I see all these videos of crazy fans online doing all the crazy stuff. And, you know, I've never done it. I've never had a reason to do it. You know, but obviously celebrating going to Super Bowl. If we do go to Super Bowl, of course, not counting my chickens. But yeah, I just think the videos online, I think, is enough to root for the Bills. Seeing the fans jumping through the tables, doing all sorts of wacky stuff that they do, I think it'd be awesome.
100%. And I have to say, even from the Chiefs' perspective, two great sets of fans. I mean, some of the most passionate fans you'll get in the NFL. Obviously, you've got the Bills Mafia. Mm. You know, you've got obviously Chiefs Kingdom. You know, you hear the sound at Arrowhead as well. It's going to be electric, isn't it? And I'm glad that we've got some form of fans in the stadium at least, because it's just going to make a massive difference to the atmosphere, isn't it?
It was quite loud, I think, against the Browns, which surprised me how loud. Well, I shouldn't really say that. You know, the Chiefs have obviously got the Chiefs fans have got the record for the loudest stadium in the world. So it's you know, the noise is going to be great. And I hope it just has that added bit of advantage for us. It's not a full house at our head, but you know, it's probably like what, a quarter full or something like that. But they do generate noise, and they'll do absolutely anything they can. And I think the thing that we've got to think about here is apparently the weather's going to be really bad. Which, you know, it for both teams. I mean, the Bills are probably, you know, they're used to that kind of weather as well anyway, you know, the cold weather and that. And if it's going to be rain, sleet, snow, whatever it is, it's we always look at these snow games and things as being classics, you know, battles. If it is that, then yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. Yeah. I really can't wait.
I think regardless of the weather, it's going to be a level playing field, like you said, because both teams are obviously playing that sort of environment. I'm just worried for my Bucs when they play Green Bay. Obviously, I know Brady's used to the cold, but I don't know about rest of the lads.
If I could say one thing about that, another reason to root for Bills, because I mean, it's been the David and Goliath story, Bills versus Brady for generations, you know, for ages. I just think if the Bucks beat the Packers and it's Bills versus Brady in the Super Bowl, that is the ultimate opportunity for the Bills to finally get them out the closet and start their dynasty. That would be amazing.
No, you want Patrick Mahomes as Luke Skywalker taking on Darth Vader.
no matter who wins out, the Bills and the Chiefs, I'll be rooting for the AFC team. I don't want Brady to win on the Super Bowl.
I'll agree with you there. Yeah, I can't go with the NFC teams. No way.
No, absolutely not.
Well, I appreciate you guys. I mean, I think we're slowly running out of time now. So I do really thank you both for joining us today. It's been fantastic. Yeah, if you both want to give us a chant, Brad, start off with yourself. Quick Chiefs chant.
Bit of a tomahawk chop. We're going to do it like this now, apparently. So, oh, Chiefs.
And Josh?
So, I haven't got a table, but I thought I'd jump through right now and say, let's go, Buffalo! Let's go, Buffalo! Simple as you like. Does the deed.
Thank you very much, guys. Much appreciated. And enjoy the game. Look after yourselves.
Yeah, enjoy the game, Brad, mate.
Yeah, you too, mate. Catch you later, Josh.
Today, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello again, loyal listeners. My name is Ryan Edwardson, and this is the 4th and Inches fan preview for the NFC Championship game. Joining me in this venture, I've got two fans who are nervously awaiting Sunday's big game. For the visiting team, he's now so indoctrinated into Tom Brady's era, he's bought 500 stocks of the TB12 Incorporated. Welcome back, Samuel Sharkey. How are you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, nervous, excited, intrigued, everything, to be honest. But hey, only a day to go.
And in the other corner, for the number one seed, home field advantage having, cheesehead wearing, pride of Wisconsin, Green Bay Packers, we're pleased to be joined again by Aaron Cawthorn. How are you doing, Aaron?
Yeah, good, thanks. You?
Ah, not too bad. Only three games left of the season for us neutrals to enjoy.
Yeah, that's it.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, we'll delve into last week's games first, and we'll start with the Packers. I mean, you've had a bye in the wild card round, and then you faced an Aaron Donaldless Rams in the divisional round. Are the Packers going to be up for this game on Sunday?
Yeah, I think we are. I think this is the biggest challenge we've faced so far this season. Like you say, week six won a pretty result for us, but I think we've come a long way since then. And yeah, we've got the weapons, we've got the D. I'm confident, but very nervous at the same time.
Yeah, I think the thing I got from the game in the divisional round was it didn't look, even though it was a close game, it didn't really look like the Packers were struggling at too many points. I think they just felt like they just needed to get over the line and get there. Was it a simple game? Did Rodgers just control it from the off, or were you a bit nervous at some points?
I was nervous before the game, but I think, I don't know, once we start getting rolling in the game, we was fine. Like you say, we kept Ramsey at bay, we kept Donald at bay, and Goff wasn't too much of a threat, in my opinion.
He never is.
No. But I think it was one of our last touchdowns. I think that sort of sealed it for us, and I wasn't worried after that. And I was more nervous on the Tampa and Saints game, to be honest.
Oh, we'll go over to that, Sam. I mean, the Bucks had a completely different game. You had to come from behind to beat the Saints. How was that watching that for you?
Given the recent years, going down to the Saints as a Bucks fan is never a promising sign. Given the regular season, you sort of get flashbacks to 38-3 sort of scorelines. But look, we did exactly what I said would help us win the game last week. We made sure we spread the ball through our wide receivers. Especially in late game, you saw Scotty Miller came up with a huge catch. Tyler Johnson with a world-class catch. I mean, we lost Antonio Brown, so it was up to these guys to step up. Cameron Bray, I think, went for like 80 yards, which again, Gronk is back to the blocking tight end that he claims to be, which he's doing phenomenal. Leonard Fournette was once again out of this world. So I believe he's got the start above Ronald Jones this week as well.
Oh, that could be big.
Sort of a mid-game decision last week, but yeah, we scored 30 points against the Saints, and then that high-flying offense for them. Just I think we were talking about this previously about Drew Brees. Just he made bad decisions. He really did. He made the game a bit too simple. Like you can't give players that are playing like Devin White and Mike Edwards, who are ball grabbers, you know what I mean, like from the air, and you can't give them chances to play because they're just going to take them. You know, like
no, it really was the Tampa defense were just. I think in that last couple of quarters, they really set your offense up to succeed. Because before that, it was looking a little bit... I mean, the Saints had some big punt returns. They could have had a touchdown off a punt return. It was definitely looking like they were easing their way. But, I mean, that...
Definitely.
Is the defense going to be a key for you in this game as well to stop what the Packers have been doing all season?
Oh, of course. You can't not beat Aaron Rodgers without playing phenomenal defense. It is just as simple as that. The man is too good to be sloppy. You can't, especially when you've got it playing, like I said last week when I was talking the small preview about the Rams game, I said Devontae Adams is going to be key. And he got the first touchdown. And I think that's what really set the Packers off. You know, you've got into Jalen Ramsey's head, who's been phenomenal all year. Devontae Adams has proven that it's his game he's going through. Obviously, that was the key matchup everyone was talking about. So I think if Sean Murphy Bunting can have a game like he did on last Sunday, then certainly that could be a very, very interesting matchup. But look, you can't, with players like Tonyan playing amazing, Adams playing amazing, Rodgers playing amazing, Jones has always got that big run capability in him. You have to be sharp and ready to play. And it's not just that, we're going to Green Bay. You know what I mean? Aaron Rodgers, I believe it's his first home field NFC Championship game. He's coming to the end of his career. This is going to be one he's going to want to remember for the rest of his career. So we have to go there and we have to make a statement on defense, not just perform to whatever level we've done before. This is a new step for us. This is taking on, in my opinion, the best offense left in the playoffs, the way they're playing, which is, speaking of ours, and obviously you've got the Chiefs as well, and the Bills have got Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen, but I just think there's a lot of different problems in this Packer defense to deal with. Like, you get with our team, yes, we're phenomenally, but we're very much wide receiver stacked. So the versatility and the different problems that the Packers present means we have to be sharp.
Aaron, do you think it's going to be a shootout? You think it's going to be all offense driven, or is the Packers defense going to have to try and stand up to another Tampa onslaught?
No, they will have to step up. Like you say, with Jair Alexander, he's the main guy. I was quite glad to see that Antonio Brown was out. That was good. But then again, it's like Sam said, they've got loads of offensive weapons. And Gronk's going to be one of them main ones to stop, I think. Him and, what's his name? Mike Evans, that one. But yeah, we've got great players, and we've shown throughout the season, like on our D-line, when you've got Rashan Gary, Kenny Clark, Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, so-so. But no, I see Za'Darius Smith being the key man in this game, if he can get to Tom Brady.
I think there's going to be a key for both sides is how clean can you keep your pocket, really, isn't it? Which O-line, D-line combination is going to win out? And I mean, we've seen it throughout the playoffs. That's what sunk the Seahawks. It's what sinks quite a lot of teams. Are you confident you can get to Tom Brady and really put that pressure on down the middle, like everybody says you have to do?
I believe so, yeah. Like at the beginning of the season and early last, Rashan Gary was a bit hit and miss. He could never get through the offensive line, but this year he's just done amazing. And with Kenny Clark by his side as well, it's going to be hard to stop them too. And like you say, Za'Darius Smith will sneak in, and I believe he'll get a few sacks, but it'll still be challenging for our defence.
I mean, it's hard to overlook the fact that you've got Rodgers versus Brady, but Sam, do you think that the Tampa run game is going to play a big factor, or is it just going to have to be there if you get up and you need it?
Well, I think it was a very big factor against the Saints. I think everyone saw that. But for me, it's more the one thing we did well against the Saints that the Saints didn't do as well as against us was Kamara would run for one or two on his first run, but like Fournette was going 6, 7, 8. So making those third down options or second down options, just drawing people a little bit closer, really enabled us to open up the rest of the field. And with Tom's arm being as good as it was to everyone's surprise, I think that the run game is going to be very good at just easing that defense ever so closer. And the big thing is, like I think Aaron said, that Antonio Brown's out, but it brings back Scotty Miller. Now, for those who don't really know Tampa, they might not really know much about Scotty Miller. The boy can play, and he can play with Brady. It's almost like Edelman and Brady times. Like the way they're in sync, he just seems to find him. And obviously, Tyler Johnson, as I said earlier, he'll get a couple more reps. And I don't think, given the way he's playing, is the worst thing. I think he's been a hell of a good pickup for fifth round. So I think the run game will be important, but don't expect many big plays from it. It's certainly going to be, is it ground and pound, they call it?
Yeah, ground and pound.
Ground and pound, yeah.
It would make sense. Aaron, I mean, last season, Aaron Jones went off and, really skyrocketed in most people's estimations. Has he had a quieter season this year? Has he not been used as much? And do you think he's going to be quite key to the way that the Packers win this game if they do?
I don't think he'll be the key player. In my opinion, he hasn't done as good as he did last year. Like you say, he got... I'm sure it was over 15 touchdowns, but this he's got like 11 rushing, 2 catching. I think it's good that we're using all 3 running backs. Jamal Williams, he can run past any guy, and AJ Dillon, he's sort of the tank of our running backs. If we need a third and one, fourth and one, put Dillon in, he will charge through. And I think it's quite good that they're rotating a lot of these running backs. Aaron Jones, like you say, he can break through a run for yards. But using all 3, in my opinion, will be the best thing to do for our running game.
I think that is something that stuck out to me watching the divisional game last week, is that they were chopping and changing, constantly rotating through. And a lot of people were saying last offseason, I mean, you've got Aaron Jones, why are you drafting these young prospects and bringing all these people in, and you've got Jamal Williams re-signing? But, I mean... can you really argue with the way Matt LaFleur's been coaching in his first couple of seasons?
No, like you say, he's affecting him 3 both regular seasons and got to the NFC Championship twice, so he's doing something right. So, there's no reason to question him at the moment in time. We'll see how the game is tomorrow and see what he does. But no, he's great in my opinion.
Sam, Vita Vea is scheduled to be back. Is that going to be a big, big plus for Tampa, or is he going to be limited on snaps, do you think?
Definitely big, because as we know, Ndamukong Suh can get into Aaron Rodgers' head. So having his best mate in Vita Vea beside him as well, they were very dangerous, and they were instrumental in the last time we beat the Packers. However, I said it last week and I'll say it this week, that regular season game does not matter. If we go into this game thinking, oh, we beat him 38-10, we're going to beat him again. No, that's not how these things work. It's like Bruce Arians also said about thinking about the Super Bowl. It's quite hard to ignore the Super Bowl when they're putting the banners up just outside the training ground. They've already got the Super Bowl displays and the decals up. And I saw quite an arrogant thing of, we've left one unchanged, and it's one of Brady and Mike Evans. And I don't like things like this, because you're asking to be mugged off. I really don't like it. But yeah, so I think... Vita Vea being back, to get back to the original question, is going to be instrumental for stopping those 3 running backs, because he's a big guy. And it's like I said it earlier with the uniqueness of the offense, you've got 3 running backs there that provide 3 very different problems. You say you've got Dillon, who's been phenomenal at short yardage. You've got, is it Jamal Williams?
Yeah.
He's been a very good outside, I think it's an outside catches sort of like flats and stuff, I see him. But he's also been very good at the goal line. And then Aaron Jones, I think, speaks for himself. Like you say, he's had a lesser year with the 13 touchdowns. Well, that's probably because the other guys have been stepping up a little bit, sort of carrying the weight. And that's not necessarily the worst thing. Obviously, I think Aaron Jones is in talks for a contract this year. There's been talks that he's not going to get the money he wants. That sounds good for me. Anything to sort of disrupt all that, the dressing room would be lovely. If he decides to sit this one, go ahead. I'm all for it. Obviously, unlikely, but No, but the contradictory point of that is Aaron Jones goes and puts like 200 yards and two touchdowns this Sunday. He knows he can go in and ask for a couple more million. So, yeah, Vita Vea and the whole D-line is going to have to be very, very, very good, because you have to get to Rodgers. He's the fourth runner, if you will. You know, like, how many times this season has he gone third and seven, everyone's dropped back to pass coverage, and he's just gone, all right then, I'm just going to run for eight and go, thank you very much. He's very much a dual threat quarterback even now. So, yeah, I think Vita Vea has to be instrumental to it, because I think at times we were a bit slow to Breeze on Sunday, especially the early quarters, and obviously the big Winston play. Some of the times we weren't really good enough, and that has to be different this week, especially because as much as Breeze is a phenomenal quarterback, Aaron Rodgers will punish you about 3-4 times more than Drew Brees or possibly any other quarterback will.
You mentioned before this is Rodgers' first NFC title game in Lambeau. I've just looked at the weather. It's supposed to be minus two degrees, feels like minus 10, possibly snow all Sunday. How much is that going to have an impact, especially being in Lambeau, being in the cold weather, having fans hopefully in the stadiums, Aaron? How much is that going to really revitalize and push the Packers on?
See, we had this talk last week. I don't think the weather has anything to do with it. Brady's played in these conditions loads of times, and I know you've got like the rest of the Tampa squad that play in Sunshine State, but the majority of them could have played in these conditions during college, and just the weather has got nothing to do with it. It's it's good for us because we're used to it, but like Rams did do well last week in the cold. You know, they got points and they did look well in phases, but nah, weather for me, it's got nothing to do with that. If it snows, great. I think the best thing is having a few fans there. I think that'll sort of pump them up, and like Sam said, it's Rodgers is coming to an end. If this is his last chance of maybe getting a Super Bowl, what a great chance he's got, and especially with fans around him, more or less a healthy squad. That'll be the key, not the weather for me.
I think we've all seen a few quarterbacks missing their Super Bowl windows and not quite getting back to it. So it will be interesting to see the way that the Packers team is really geared up for winning this season. We'll have to see if he can get back there again. Sam, how do you see the game going? What's your score prediction going to be?
Oh, I went a bit brutal last week, and I certainly don't think it'll be that sort of difference this week, obviously with a 42-17 prediction. But it's very difficult to call, because as well as I could really see one team doing a very similar break-off win, it's I think out of all the playoff games so far to call, this one is so difficult, because It shouldn't be this difficult to predict a first seed at home to a fifth seed. It really shouldn't. But I feel like the way we beat the Saints, if it was anyone but Drew Brees and the team that had haunted us this season, it wouldn't have meant as much. But for the reason we're going in with a bit of confidence, I'll go 31-23. But there's a potential 31-29 missed 2-point bet. I'm never going to go against Aaron Rodgers putting in a last-minute touchdown, especially not against Bruce Arians.
We've got Rodgers and Brady, so we could have, I don't know, four lead changes in the past 2 minutes knowing these two.
True. But yeah, it's certainly going to be interesting if it snows, for sure.
Yeah, that could change everything. Aaron, what do you think? How do you think the game's going? What's your score prediction?
Very similar to Sam. Like you say, almost every game this season, we've scored 30-plus points minus the Tampa game. But we can get points. We've got players to get the points. Mason Crosby hasn't missed a field goal this season, which is good. It will be a very close one. I'm thinking 31-27, obviously, to Packers. Yeah. Okay. I just think, like you say, with Brady and Rodgers, you can get points all over. It could be a high-scoring game, or if the defense steps up on both teams, it's going to be a low-scoring, close game.
It's definitely going to be a good one for the neutral, no matter what, I think.
Yeah.
Possibly the same with the AFC game as well. Who do you guys, Aaron, who do you think is going to be in that Super Bowl from the AFC?
Oh, it's a tough one, that. Just because I believe they deserve it more, Bills.
We always like definitely an underdog, don't we?
Yeah. And I don't think I'd be that ups. Well, I'd say it's now, but if it was Packers and Bills, I don't think I'd be that disappointed. Well, I'd be disappointed, but I'm the least disappointed because it's the Bills and they've come a long way and they've done great. But like you say, every Super Bowl they've been in, they've lost. So there you go.
Sam, what do you think? AFC, who's going through?
For who I think will win, the second you see Patrick Mahomes be cleared, you just think worries, don't you, for Bills fans. But I'll go on a different point and go with, I think the best two games would have been Bucks versus Bills, because in one of two ways, is if you get the Bills versus Brady in the Bills in a Super Bowl, that's just going to be entertaining. But even I, on a small level, wouldn't want to beat the Bills with Brady in the Super Bowl. That gets to a point where you are torturing a team. But as well as if we lose and the Packers get the Chiefs, that is a game. That is a serious game. And I think that, so for that reason, I guess I'll go Bills, because I feel like it'll be a better matchup for us. So I'll say Bills.
Fair enough. I mean, it has worked out quite nicely. These last three games of the season are really going to be tip-top no matter what. Guys, is there anything else you wanted to cover? Anything, you know, relating to this massive championship game?
I think we've missed the big point of it's the old curse of the home Super Bowl curse. You saw it with, was it Case Keenum a couple of years ago? Mm-hmm. Obviously, they all got mental after the Minneapolis miracle and then went and lost to Nick Foles. Then again, so did everyone else that playoff season. So... yeah, I think, is that going to be in Tom Brady's head? I mean, look at what he's achieved in his career. He would love to tick another strange box, another one just to go, oh, I also did this, as well as the six Super Bowls and all this and that. I've also got the home Super Bowl, but look, it's not going to be easy, is it? And I think Rodgers will know full well that he wants to deny it.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, Aaron Rodgers seems spurred on more than ever this season. I don't know whether it's spite or just proving people wrong, but he is going to be very interesting to see him coming out slinging.
There's also the whispers of the return of the belt, which I like the sound of. I have seen that America's Game, and I do like the old belt. That could be interesting, especially if Brady decides to celebrate. If they could get a bit of like comical feistiness going on with some celebrations, like Brady comes down and does a Gronk spike or something, it'd be quite. I think this game could be far more entertaining, more for just two people who respect each other going at it, not just much as two greats going at it. You know, they're both going to like sort of one on one up each other. And I feel like that's going to enable some big entertaining plays this game.
I do actually feel a bit sorry for you both, because you're not going to be able to enjoy it as much as the neutrals, because you're going to be so nervous watching it.
Last week was rough. Last week was very, very rough, especially after that punt return, just say 4 minutes into the game, like, yep. I think the holding them to them field goals there was really important. Mm-hmm. I think that I think Drew Brees just didn't have that little bit left in the tank.
No, Aaron does.
I've talked a lot since you asked that question. So.
It's all good. Aaron, anything else you wanted to hit?
I'd like to hear what you predict for these games.
That's a very good question. I think the Packers win it. I think something like 31-20, something like that. I think be a little bit too much for the Bucks, but I mean, I remember watching the Packers and just seeing them not turn up for some halves this season. Against the Jags, they struggled, so there's always that possibility with an Aaron Rodgers team. If you don't find your groove, they could be in trouble, but then it's the same with Tampa.
Yeah,
it's really going to depend on who comes out. And then I think the Chiefs are going to beat the Bills. The Bills, I've not been overly impressed with them in the postseason, to be honest. Their offense has been a little bit, I don't know, static. Yes, it was Baltimore last week, but even against the Colts, I thought they were probably quite lucky to get through against the Colts. So I was going to go Packers, Chiefs, and then, oh, I don't know.
I don't want
a dynasty. I don't want back-to-back for the Chiefs.
No, I'm with you on that.
I think that's why everybody's kind of like, if we get beat by the Bills, that's fine. Because, you know, the Bills have had enough crap over the years.
I do have a question for Aaron, though, which is quite an interesting one.
Go for it.
Yeah. If Aaron Rodgers wins the Super Bowl this year, does he walk away?
No.
Nope.
No, I can't see that, no. And like you say, Jordan Love's not ready. He's been inactive every game this season. But no, if he wins... how old is he? He's 38, isn't he? I'm sure he's 38.
Could go for the Elway-style repeat, couldn't he?
Yeah. No, I don't. I think he could do as much as Brady, like at his age. I think he's still got another 5 years left, because I'm sure, not five, it was 2 years ago when he mentioned that he's got another 5 years left in the tank, he believes. So I think he'll carry on, but it might be a situation like Brady where he might maybe go to another team in a few years. I hope not, but no, he's not walking away if he wins, no.
I feel like Aaron Rodgers is just somebody who just disappear into a cabin in the woods and you'd never hear from him again. He'd leave a note on his locker like, "I'm done," and then you'd just go and wouldn't speak to anybody.
It'd be like NFL fans hunting on like live streams to try to spot Aaron Rodgers, yeah. Like he sounds like Bigfoot.
Yeah, blurry pictures of Aaron Rodgers walking through the Wisconsin countryside, like, ah. Yeah. Perfect. Wow. Thank you so much for joining us, guys. Sam, where can people find you on Twitter?
At Sam Shark 20 usually, or just on Facebook, but I'll be pottering about Sunday, commenting on both games. Might be slightly more angry about the second game, depending on the result. We might be like, "Oh, what a touchdown," or "Oh, nah, terrible refs." But also, that's the last note as well. The Saints had their ref game back last week and they didn't take it, so they can stop talking about 2018 now, whenever it was. I was speaking to James about this, and he was telling me about how the fact that you'll never get an apology about refereeing or an admittance of poor refereeing. But look, I feel like they had a lot of penalties that were questionable, and they should have capitalised.
You can't keep fighting talk when they're already out. They've knocked them out already. It's fine.
Oh, you didn't get the whole that was all over the Bucks group chat on Sunday. It was hilarious. The old Winston win.
Aaron, where are you on Twitter?
It's at Azamaz. I don't really go on it much. Sunday's the only day I go on. So,
I'm the same.
Mainly Facebook.
Well, thank you both for joining us. I hope everybody's enjoyed listening, and good luck to you both for the weekend. It's going to be a good one, I think.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, boys.
Cheers.